All you ladies who went, do you have a good time?
Yes.
All right. Okay, good deal. I showed up for a few minutes out there to just show support, and they were having a good time. Everything was under control. Did you see the fire? It was 20 feet above the top of it. It had to be. It was incredible. You could feel it. Like if it was out there in the front yard from right here, you could feel it a little bit. It was way cool. Sandra, are you here this morning? Sandra let them have that event at her house and put a lot of energy and work into it, so we appreciate her. And then I wish I had a slideshow. Wish I had a slideshow ready from last night. Problem is, a lot of the pictures would have been taken in the dark, and it would have just been a black screen anyway, so... We had a good time. Again, thanks for everybody who helped. Wonderful, wonderful time, and I think fun was had by all. So we rejoice in that. This morning, do you guys smell anything in the air? You don't smell anything? They're used to it. Did you smell anything when you walked in? Okay, well, we made some bread in there, and the bread was cooking. Don't worry, this is not going to be about cooking. It's not a cooking show. I'm not going to be giving you lessons on that because, man, I've burnt noodles before. That's what he amens. Yeah, there we go. I think that he was agreeing. Maybe he's done the same thing, but, you know, I wanted to get your senses this morning, more than just sight. We got a little illustration here. We're going to be talking about the bread of the presence this morning. And I really, I want to encourage you and challenge you just to pay as much attention as you possibly can, because I want to try to tie this in to the New Testament, okay? I want to help you to understand. And in Jesus, we're going to look at later on some things that Jesus said, and they're very, very powerful, and I want you to be able to receive that, comprehend it, and then apply it to our lives, okay? So, I'm going to read out of Exodus chapter 25 to begin, and then we'll go from there. Exodus 25, verse 23, the scripture says, "Then make a table of acacia wood, 36 inches long, 18 inches wide, and 27 inches high. Overlay it with pure gold and run a gold molding around the edge." Now we're going to skip to verse 30. "Place the bread of the presence on the table to remain before me at all times." Okay, if you like to want to go to all these and check out what's all surrounding these verses, you need to take notes. Or you can check it out this afternoon, and you can go to our website and you can find it. You can pull up the verses. They'll be up there just like it is that you see on the screen right now. And my voice will be there in the background. You can check that out there and be able to keep up if you're having a hard time today. So this is not the same size as the table that we just read about. And this table, this was God-given instructions to Moses in the Old Testament. And what he was doing was he was giving him instructions to furnish the tabernacle, that place where God was going to dwell. Later on, when it wasn't movable, it was called the temple, okay? And but in the desert, when they were wandering in the desert, it was called the tabernacle. And what we were describing was only a portion of the different items that were going to be used to worship the system. Okay, and so this table is not the same size as the one we read, but there were some things on it. These things weren't there. There was a gold pitcher and a gold cup, or maybe a few gold cups, to pour out drink offerings, liquid offerings to the Lord. And then there was also what we just read about, the bread of the presence. Place the bread of the presence on the table. And traditionally they did it in six on one side. I think I have three and three. They had six on each side. There would be 12 altogether for you math geniuses, and representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? So I want to help take us from the Old Testament there to understand the meaning of this in our life today and through the New Testament. So to do that, we're going to be looking at some different verses. And you know what? Today's the first day of November, so this is the month we celebrate Thanksgiving. I normally kind of steer away from doing that in November because I think we should do it all the time. Let's practice giving thanks to the Lord. Let's practice thanking each other as well. We can show honor and gratitude that way. But November is a month we give thanks. And so this that helps us in that this was a symbol to the Israelites and even to you and I today of God's provision in our life. How many of you eat a couple times a day? One of you. Thank you, Jordan. If you're fasting, that's awesome. Remember me in prayer if you're fasting. But the bread helps symbolize to them in that day. It was saying, hey, you know what? God's our provider. And he certainly was in their day, wasn't he? Matter of fact, if you look back, and read the scriptures, you'll see in there in the Old Testament, it said that when they were wandering through the desert for a long time, their sandals didn't wear out. God's the provider, right? He was a cloud to them by day, a fire by night. He provided, he guided them as well. He provides for us. He supplies the things we need in our life. That's one of the things that the bread represents. We'll come back to that a little bit later. And it also represents communion with God. What is communion with God? Well, it's a relationship. It's a talking. It's an asking. It's a listening. It's a relationship. And that's, I believe that's one of the things that it symbolizes. So we're going to look first in Matthew chapter 6. This is a portion of the Lord's Prayer. Many of us have memorized that prayer. Let me just briefly say about the Lord's Prayer. That is not a prayer that I repeat all the time. And then say, okay, God, I prayed, and then go about my business. Because I don't believe that's what Jesus had intended when Jesus' disciples came to him and said, hey, Jesus, John taught his disciples how to pray. Would you teach us how to pray? And Jesus says, well, certainly, love to. And he begins, and you know how it goes. It begins, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But I want to point out one particular verse, not that one, but Jesus was giving us a pattern, not just what to quote, right? I don't see any problem in quoting it, but I think there needs to be a little bit more there as well, okay? And again, though, it's a part of a relationship with him. And so in verse 11, Jesus again gives this particular guidance here, and he says, hey, y'all need to make sure, you need to pray like this. And say something like this, God, give us today the food we need. And the way you remembered it might have been through a different version, but what Jesus was saying was that he wanted to help us recognize that God the Father is the one who provides for us. Okay? Because again, he's teaching them how to pray to God, and then in this prayer, we're praying to God, hey God, would you give us the food we need today? That's helping us understand and recognize that God's our provider once again. And then also, it is a request for God to continue to provide for us. Not that God will forget about us otherwise, but that we should learn to trust in him and his goodness. Do you see that in there? Jesus was, I think, one of the other things that he was trying to teach us through this particular line of this prayer that he taught was that we need to trust God, and it's okay, and learn to even ask. Well, why, if God knows everything, why do we have to ask? I don't know. You're going to have to ask him. He wants us to learn, because in the asking is trust. In the asking is faith, isn't there? Because we're asking the one who is, even though we don't see him, we're asking and we believe in our hearts, that's by faith, and we trust that he will do what we've asked him to do. And then when he does, then guess what? We turn right around and we say, hey, thanks, you did what I asked. Not that he takes orders from us, but he does supply. And matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to tell a story on my dad. Hopefully he won't mind. He's not here this morning. If you remember him, pray for him. He's just dealing with some stuff. And this was years ago. Yesterday was youth hunt for deer season. I remember several years ago, I wasn't with him, but he told me the story. I think Mom told me as well. Dad was deer hunting. I think, as I recall, it was the last evening of rifle season, and it was coming to an end. And Dad shoots up a prayer. Maybe you've shot up a prayer before. It's one of those, you just do it and keep going on about what you're doing. So Dad says, "Lord, I'm running out of time. Will you just give me a deer? Any deer, just a little deer would do." He said, "I no more than looked up, and there was a little tiny deer." He shoots it and carries it with one hand, I think. This is what Dad learned out of that. I should have been a little bit more specific in what I prayed. Are you following me this morning? And so, you know what? If you need something, it's okay to ask for it. And we do need food, right? We need food to nourish our bodies. And so Jesus was helping us to understand, one, you need to ask. It's okay to ask. And two, in the asking, you need to be specific in it. But in the asking, it's also that element of faith, which is positive, which is good. And it helps us to understand that God will continue to provide. The next scripture we're going to look at is a few chapters before this one, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Excuse me. Okay, so before we read the scripture, I want to give you the background to it. As you know, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by his cousin John the Baptist. And then the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And guess who shows up? Yeah, the devil. The devil showed up. He wanted to knock Jesus off of his high horse, and he tried three times, didn't work. This was the first one. Jesus, again, fasting for a long period of time, the enemy, the devil, knew that he would be hungry. And he says, "Hey, Jesus, hey, you can turn those rocks into bread." And here's Jesus' reply. But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." You know, each one of us need bread. We need food to sustain us, right? We need it daily. It's okay, you can go a few days without it if you're fasting and whatnot, but this sustains our bodies, doesn't it? We need that. But look at what Jesus opens up to us here. We don't live by bread alone. That's not the only thing that life is about. Sin, but instead we live by the words that come from God. Wow. We live not just by bread, and that's a struggle for some people, because some people, that's all that they ever think about is this thing, this body. The flesh, and they only think about that. And in no way am I trying to say you don't need to take care of yourself or you shouldn't. I'm not in any way trying to say that. But we need to also pay attention to other things. Matter of fact, Paul tells us that it is good. And this is going to be, it's not going to be on the screen. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, he said, "Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better." And listen to this. "Promising benefits in this life and in the life to come." Physical training is good, he says. But how did he word that? "But training for godliness." Training for godliness is much better, because it promises benefits here and now. Because the closer we get to God, the more we're going to be like God, and the more we're going to love on one another and be gracious and kind to one another and patient. And so that's more benefit right here and now in this life. And then guess what? In the life to come, it's way beneficial, because without it, it's only torment. So one of the issues is oftentimes we forget that we're made up of three components. We're made up of body, yes, that's who we see today. But also with the body, now the body isn't going to live forever. This body isn't going to live forever. The scripture tells us that those who are born again will receive a new body. You get a new, brand new one, traded in for a newer model, amen? An eternal model, that's good, that's exciting. There's body, then there's your soul, there's also your spirit. Now, your soul would be the mind, will, and emotions. Your mind, the thought life, and the ability to think and process things. Your will, help you with a will is when you're trying to teach the little bitty kid to do something, they say, no. No. Now don't be like that as an adult, okay? And then of course we have a spirit, and our spirit has to be alive in Christ in order to go to heaven. And so we can understand and we can learn from that even though we have a body, we need to take care of the body, it's not number one. I'm not saying don't take care of it, but I'm saying this thing is only temporary. The Spirit's going to last forever, okay? So let us, again, let's look back at what Jesus said. He said, no, devil, I don't need that bread. People don't live by bread alone. We don't only live by bread. And on top of that, we live by the words that come from the mouth of God. What God commands, what God dictates. So then there's a clue right there for us to pay attention to those things that God says, which is found in the Word of God, in the Bible. Now let's check out what Jesus has to say in John chapter 6, verse 33. Before we get there, let me give you a little bit of background here as well. Jesus, the day before this particular verse, the day before Jesus had done a miracle, I think a very grand miracle. He provided food for 5,000 men plus women and children. So it could have been closer to 15,000 people out of a few loaves or a few fish. He fed. I said it in the first service. I would have been impressed if it was even only 100 people. If he fed 100 people out of two fish and a couple loaves of bread. There was 5,000 plus women and children. So Jesus sends his disciples off, and he goes to get alone with God the Father through the night. And then the next day, the people, the crowd that was there that he fed, so it was likely a pretty good chunk of people, those people are trying to find Jesus again. He left and went away. Now they're trying to find him. They locate him. And here's what Jesus says. It's not going to be on the screen, but Jesus said this. I think it was like verse 25 or something, if you're taking notes. He said to the crowd, when they located him, guys, you only want to be around me because I fed you. You're only interested because I gave you something. Wow. Look at what Jesus says next. This will be in verse 27, not on the screen. He said, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. Now look, he's pointing to the Son of Man. He said, guys, you know what? Don't be so concerned about these perishable, these temporary things like food. Again, he's not saying that we don't need food. He's saying don't be so concerned. Don't let that consume us. Instead, he says, spend your energy. Spend your energy. That would be the things that you work toward. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. Now he's bringing up eternal life. Okay? Because when we sit down at a table and eat a meal, that we know that meal's not going to give us eternal life, right? We know we will absorb that into our body, and that will be good for us for a number of hours, right? Jesus saying, hey, there's something way bigger here going on. Let me begin to open up the light to you so that you can see that is what he was doing. And really, when Jesus told the crowd that was following him, he said, guys, you're only coming after me. You only came to find me. You're only following me. You're only interested because you think I can continue to give you something. You want to see what's going to happen next. And what I think Jesus was saying in that was, I think he's saying, hey, you don't need to be looking just for what I can give you, but you need to look to who I am and want to know me. He's saying, you're only wanting this, but this is what I want to give you. I want to give you my heart. I'm pointing to my chest because of the heart. It's that seat of emotion for us. He was saying, hey, you know what? That's great. I loved providing that for you, but there's more. There's more. I want to offer you me, not just a piece of bread or a fish. I want to offer you me. Okay, and that relationship with me. That's what Jesus was saying there. Now let's look on, because Jesus continues to broaden it and open their eyes up and help them to understand, even though it was difficult for some to comprehend. Jesus said here in verse 33, the true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven. Okay, so he's talking about bread again, right? Talking about bread, the true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven. It comes down from heaven, and what does it do? It gives life to the world. All right, are you with me so far? This bread comes down from God, it gives life to the world. Okay, let's look at the next verse. We're going to skip 34 and go to 35. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. He's telling this to this large group that's continuing to follow him, at least on the second day, probably more than that. I am the bread of life. Okay, he just pointed, in previous verse, he said, hey, the Son of Man. It would be the Son of Man. Now Jesus is saying, hey, I'm the Son of Man. I'm the bread of life, guys. I'm the one. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again. I've struggled with the last two verses there for a while because it appeared that to me then, until recently, that this was saying, hey, we only had to come to Jesus once, but you know what? That's not what Jesus teaches. What I think this verse is saying was that we can come to him and we understand that he's the source. It doesn't mean that we don't ever have to come back. Because I think it's the opposite that is the truth. Because if somebody responds to a salvation message, somebody responds to the gospel and the Holy Spirit pricking their heart, they come down to an altar like this and they ask the Lord to forgive them and come into the life, and then they walk away and they never think about Jesus again. Are they going to heaven? They haven't nurtured a relationship. That was the very, very first step. And then they walked away. They forgot about it. They left it. That's not following Jesus. That's a, oh, I tried that and that, and then I, whatever happened. Is this making any sense this morning? But instead, that's the first step, or maybe it's in a car, maybe it's in someone's living room, or wherever it could happen, and it's wonderful. But then we have to continue to follow Jesus. Isn't that what he said? He called the tax collector, Matthew, said, hey, come follow me. And he continued to follow him the rest of his life. Died early because of it. As did most of the other ones except for John. Not John the Baptist. John the Baptist died early too because he followed Jesus. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. Okay, so Jesus, he reveals, hey guys, I'm the bread of life. I'm the one. And if you come to me, you won't be hungry again, you won't be thirsty again. Again, I think that he's saying there, you will then recognize that I'm the source of it all. You'll recognize that I'm the one with the power. I'm the one that does supply. I'm the one that will give you everything that you will ever, ever need. And then we can still come back to him because, you know what? Kind of like the bread, you eat it. Guess what? You need to eat 4 or 5 hours later. Right? Am I saying that Jesus isn't enough? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying yesterday's filling of Jesus isn't enough for today. We need him again. We need more of him. We need more of him all the time. We just need to grow in him, because you can't learn all of him in one sitting. That's impossible. You can't even learn all of him in a lifetime. So he's saying, hey guys, just recognize I'm the source. I'm the source. I'll give you that eternal life. Excuse me. I'll give you the eternal life that you're looking for. You won't need to be searching anymore. That's what he was saying. You won't have to keep searching. Let's skip a few verses to verse 51. Jesus continues, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Now here he's also relating it to manna. Remember manna in the Old Testament? There in Moses' days that we kind of already started on, God provided manna for the people, and that was bread that fell from heaven, from the sky. Jesus isn't bread from the sky. He's bread from God Almighty. Amen? A little bit of difference there, but similar at the same time. But here, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. Amen. Now check this out. Stay with me. And this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, to everybody. This bread that I'm going to offer for everybody is my flesh. Now, I'm trying to tie this all together. This bread is my flesh. It'll give you eternal life. I'm from heaven. Last Sunday, many of you were here. We did Holy Communion, or we also call it the Lord's Supper. Others call it the Eucharist. We received of that. We have the cup, the juice that represents the blood of Jesus, and the cracker or the bread that represents the body of Jesus, right? So Jesus is saying, not here, take a chunk, take a bite. It was, you need to be reminded of me. You need to follow me. You need to serve me. You need to seek me, and not just what I can give you from my hand, but from who I am. And let me caution you: it's not wrong or improper to pray for and ask for blessings, and ask for things. But let me challenge you with this: you don't have to stop the other, but you do need to make sure to start this if you're not doing it. Lord, show me who you are. I want to know who you are. Help me to understand you. Lord, open my eyes up. Open my mind up. I want more of you, not just the blessings that you can give to me. Are you with me today? I hope this is making some sense. So, the bread of the presence, which I like that title, the bread of the presence, because I love the presence of God. And many of you do as well. We don't experience the presence of God by accident. I don't believe. We experience the presence of God out of pursuit. And someone told me once, I heard a preacher say, if you're hungry for God, the proof is in the pursuit. And again, we're from Missouri, so he's saying, you got to show me. You got to show me that you mean business, you know? And so, gonna look at a couple of the scriptures talking about communion with God. I mentioned that earlier. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 helps us to understand this in a really powerful verse. Jesus is the one speaking, and he says, look, or behold, I stand at the door and knock. That can be kind of penetrating, can it? If your heart's not right with the Lord. Jesus says, hey, I'm standing at the door of your heart. I'm knocking. Let me in. Let me in. If you hear my voice and you open the door, I'll come in and we will share a meal as friends. What do you do when you invite somebody over? Usually we share a meal together, right? Oh yeah, come on over. We'll have some. I'll make some lasagna, and we'll sit around and we'll eat lasagna, and we'll visit. Well, what do? You tell stories. You ask questions. They ask questions of you. You learn who each other is. Are you getting the picture? So when Jesus is standing, he says, I'm standing at the door. I'm knocking. Why don't you let me in? I'll come in and we'll commune together. We'll learn who each other is. Now, Jesus has, he's a lot further in learning who we are than we are of him. He knows everything about us, right? But we have to take time, spend time to get to know him. And it is rewarding because you know the master. You know the Lord. Am I trying to say that I know God in every way? Listen, I still have a bunch of questions, but I'm hungry for his presence because there's nothing like his presence on this earth except his presence. Let me also say, do you know what makes heaven heaven? It's the presence of God. Okay, the hell doesn't have his presence. That's why it's awful, and that's why heaven is so wonderful. So, I also believe we can experience some heaven on earth. His presence in our life, in our midst, walking with us, being with us. And Jesus, look at this open-ended invitation for everybody. Hey, just let me in. Hey, let me in. I made you. I love you. I went to the cross for you. And you've heard me say it before, I'm crazy about you. Jesus is crazy about us. He invites us in into a relationship to engage him and get to know him. Doesn't that sound nice? It's called prayer. It's called worship. And I want to see us as a body be so ready for that. As soon as that first note on the piano or the guitar is hit, bam, we're there. Yes, Lord, I've been waiting. You're just ready before you even get here. You know what I mean? And then we're going to watch him. We're going to watch him move in our lives. We're going to watch him transform us into the image of his son. God is faithful. He's glorious. He's wonderful. Have a couple scriptures I want to share with you as well. If you go back to that the first verses I shared out of Exodus, said that place the bread of the presence on the table where it needs to remain all the time. Right? Something like that. Well, I relate that to And I'm relating the bread to Jesus, okay? The bread of the presence to Jesus. He said later, I'm the bread of life, okay? I'm relating Jesus to the bread of the presence in the tabernacle. And here, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, John writes, my dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. Amen. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. Did you catch it? Jesus is our advocate. He's the one, John says, we have someone who will go and stand up for us. We have somebody who will go, and he's kind of painting the picture of a courtroom. We have one who's going to go in there, and he's going to stand up for us, and he's going to fight for us, for our freedom, for our victory. Now, it's not because God is against us, but it is because God's holy. And then Jesus is there as our, right? You bet. I recognize when my kid walks in the room. Oh, hey. Matter of fact, the rule is around here, and they busted it yesterday. I had to get them for it, my daughters anyway. The rule is when they come home, especially when my office was right here, they'd walk through. Hey, get back over here. I haven't seen you all day. Give me a hug. There we go. Now you can go, whatever you're doing. The Father notices the Son. And then the Son, Jesus, pleads on our behalf. He pleads for us. He He represents us. He advocates for us. Isn't that awesome? To further look at that, if you want to go back and look at it later, Romans chapter 8, verse 34 talks about that as well, that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And then we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And this one, this particular verse, again, back to God's provision. Jesus is that bread of the presence, because he remains in the presence of God always and making intercession for us. And he's there advocating for us. By the way, that might seem into your brain as impossible because, well, how could Jesus ever have time to do that for each one of us individually? Because God is not limited by time like you and I are. So, that we're going to move on to chapter 8 of Romans. And here again, we're going back to God's provision. So God provides what we need in life. But way more than that and beyond that, God provides what we need for eternal life. That's Jesus Christ. And so with that in mind, let's look at this verse. And I want you to see how gracious, how giving God is. Since he did not spare his own son, since God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Right? We believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And since Jesus died on the cross for our sins, God gave him up, gave him to do that. His one and only son. There wasn't another one. And since God didn't spare even his own son, who he loved so much, but he gave him up for us all. Listen to this next part. Won't God also give us everything else? He already gave us his most valuable possession. Won't he also give us anything else that we would need? And we walk around like, oh no, all the time, and stressed to the max. Begin to trust the Lord. Begin to trust God that he's got your back. You're on his team. Unless you're not. But if you've made faith, placed your faith in Jesus Christ, your trust in him, then you're on his side. Now it's just learning how to follow, which isn't super easy, but it's super simple. Put Jesus first. Let's begin to learn to trust in God that, hey God, you gave your son for me. You're going to give me whatever else I need. Notice he doesn't say whatever else you want. At the same time, Psalm, I want to say 37:4 says that he'll give us the desires of our heart as well. I've always joked about a Ferrari. I don't need a Ferrari. I don't want one, really. I always joke about it. But what is our heart really after? Is it after the things that God can give us? Or is it him? Emily's going to lead us in another song or two. I'm going to invite you to the front because this morning we've talked about the bread of the presence. I don't know about you, but I want the presence of God in my life. And there's a clear path to the presence of God. It's through Jesus. And I believe also it's in prayer and it's in worship. So we lift up his name. We invite him. Scripture tells us that where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there in the midst. So I'm challenging you to step out of your seat, step out of that comfort zone. Jesus is the bread of life. Let's thank God for his provision and give him thanks, give him praise, give him worship for those things. And let's seek him for his presence. Again, more than what he can offer us, more than the things that he can give us. And I'm not trying to say that we don't need things. We need food. I'm looking forward to lunch. But I'd rather have his presence. I'd rather stay here a little longer and enjoy his presence before we go to lunch. You know what I mean? Is that making any sense? So, it's time to step out of your comfort zone. Come to the front. Let's seek the Lord. Let's seek after him. Let's worship him. Let's give him thanks. Oh, thank you, Lord. If you're hungry for food, I'm just challenging you with this. Are you hungry for the Lord? Are you hungry for Him? Let's put Jesus first. Let's put Him first. Let's seek Him. Let's pursue Him. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Oh, Lord, I thank you. God's faithful. He's incredible, isn't he? The challenge today is just continue to seek the Lord. Seek him again, not just for what he can give to you. And I'm not saying you're not going to need anything. We all need things. That's part of the learning process, by the way. To learn that we need him. To learn that he's the one that provides, that he's our source. So glad to see you today. Thanks for engaging. Let's pray in conclusion. Father, you're amazing. And Lord, just continue to stir us up. Continue to stir our hearts, our spirits. Continue to draw us to yourself. And Lord, may we never be satisfied until we have all of you. Lord, this world has all kinds of things to offer, but they don't do a thing because we were made to worship you. Help us to recognize you in our life. Help us to pursue you, to seek you. I'm thankful, God, because you've pursued us. We worship you today. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of honoring you, worshiping you. Lord, now I ask you to go with your people. Encourage them, strengthen them, make your face shine upon them. Lord God, give them grace and mercy. And Lord, let your presence go with us. Use us to tell others about who you are. You are faithful and you are worthy. We love you. We honor you. Lord, we worship you because of who you are. You're wonderful and incredible. We thank you so much. Thanks for all the provisions in our lives. Lord, you've done so much that we're not worthy for. But God, you still love us and you still provide and you still desire to be with us. We give you the praise today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. So good to see you. Again, we have service tonight at 6 o'clock. We have service tonight, Wednesday nights at 6:30. Love to see you there. Ladies, you're got a painting night tomorrow night here at 6 p.m. Prayer on Friday mornings. Let's see. I'm probably forgetting something, but...